I want to draw your attention this morning to Revelation chapter 3. If you have your Bibles with us and want to read along, many of the texts that the Lord would give us liberty to use is going to come from the book of Revelation today. But in verse 5 of Revelation chapter 3, the Apostle John writes by the inspiration of God concerning the church at Sardis. He says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." He that overcometh. When you read through the chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, that statement will be repeated. He that overcometh. And what the Apostle John is telling these churches to do and encouraging them to exercise is the discipline of perseverance. Perseverance. And him that overcomes is a godly exhortation. God's Word teaches perseverance. I love to see people fight and do well. I like to see the stories of the underdog, if you will. I like to see people persevere and succeed. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie In Pursuit of Happiness. Will Smith is the main character in that movie. But it's about a man that, and I'm not going to dwell on that. We're here to talk about Jesus, not about Hollywood, but nonetheless, if you want to watch a good movie about a man that persevered in success of capitalism, which is what our country offers, you can read about a man that had a little boy. His wife left him, and he was trying to make it on Wall Street. He slept in the subway restrooms and took showered off the best he could and made his way, if you will. I don't like to use the term self-made man, but he, by his hard work and perseverance, made it for himself. Became a very wealthy person in terms of carnal things and what this world would look at. But I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I pull for people like that. I have a tendency that if they go into this bio before a football game comes on about any player on the football team having some kind of hardship in his past that he's had to overcome, sometimes I have trouble, even if I started out the game pulling for the other team, not pulling for that team that's got that guy on it that has persevered to overcome so much in his life. And God's Word teaches the saints of God to do the same thing in our life, and that is to persevere in godliness. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, he said that watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And he says, put on the helmet of salvation, take the sword of truth, which is the word of God. Pray with all supplications in spirit, watching thereunto with perseverance. With perseverance. He teaches it. I remember, you know, that's teaching about persevering in your prayer for each other, in your prayer for the saints. I remember hearing a story whenever we were members at Bethany Church, Elder David Piles and Elder Sonny Piles preached the meeting one year, and Brother David told a story about he and his daddy attending a funeral. And they were just attending the funeral. It was a friend of theirs that had gone home to be with the Lord. And they had turned the funeral service into what many of them have today is if you've ever attended many of them, it's an invitation to get saved that day, to get to know God before you leave, is what they had turned the service into. And they were praying for the people to come forward there. And Brother David said he, you know, had his head down and he looked up and he said his daddy was just gazing out across the congregation while everybody else was praying. And he said, "Daddy, they said that we're praying." And he said, "Well, the scripture says to watch and pray. You pray, I'll watch." He said, "You pray, I'll watch." God's Word teaches perseverance. It teaches to overcome what Satan tries to throw at you in this world. And what you'll read in these books, in these two chapters of this book, is that the Apostle John says, there are blessings to be had in overcoming. He will be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There's blessings in it. Just kind of in summary, if you turn your Bibles back to Revelation chapter 2, I'm just going to kind of go over some of them. But the main one that I want to go over is right here in chapter 3, verse 5. Because he says, you won't blot out your name out of the book of life. And I know you've heard about the book of life before, and you say, well, hold on a minute. If you don't overcome, does that mean that you're not ever in the book of life, that you're not going to be in it when the Lord comes back? Well, I pray that you leave here, if you've got that interpretation of that verse of Scripture now, that you not leave here with it today. And I pray it's not because just because Brother Will tells you not to believe that, it's because we're going to use God's Word to show what that verse of Scripture right there is teaching. But he writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2 and verse 7, and he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." He says down in verse 17, writing to the church at Pergamos, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." The hidden manna, eating of the tree of life, eating of the hidden manna. I believe that hidden manna is the mysteries of God, that sometimes that the Lord has blessed you to be able to have your eyes open to be able to see. And I believe one of the things that is a mystery of God, some of the things that are a hidden manna, is the difference in the salvations that are taught in Scripture. And what you'll quickly find out is if you go and you try to show somebody who is not blessed with the knowledge that you have about the different salvations in Scripture, you go and you open God's Word to somebody who you believe is a heaven-bought, heaven-bound child of God that does not believe as you do. And you expound from Ephesians chapter 2 about a salvation that's not of works, and you go to Philippians chapter 2, and you expound on a salvation that's of works. Work out your own salvation. And I don't know about you if you've ever tried that. I don't know if you get the stars that I get. It's just stars. They're not going to see it. And it's not for us to be high and lifted up in our own pride. It's because God has blessed you to be able to eat of the hidden manna, to be able to see some of the blessings of God, to know and rest in the knowledge that God has bought a home in heaven for you. But there's some things that you have to work out and overcome here in this world to be able to enjoy those things. That's hidden manna. To eat from the tree of life. He says over in verse 24, verse 26, speaking about the church at Thyatira, he says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give him power over the nations. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron." And you say, does that mean that I get to become president of the United States? No, that's not what that's teaching. It means that you'll have authority. You'll have authority in your home. You'll have authority in the church house. A minister that will overcome the trials that Satan tries to throw at a church, he'll have authority. And whenever he teaches from God's Word, people will listen because God will bless that authority. A man that sticks to the rod of iron in his house instead of letting his children tell him what they're going to do and him tell them what they will do, him that overcometh those trials that are bound to pop up. And I know you say, "Brother Will, you don't even know the half of it." You're right. I know a lot of you have children older than mine. But I'm not so foolish as to think that they're going to tell me one day what they will and won't do. And to him that overcometh, him that sticketh to the godly discipline, he'll have authority in his house. It may take a while. It may take getting through those teenage years before they'll finally listen. But one of these days that authority will come. It may take a minister a while to be able to gain the authority in the house of God, but he that overcometh, he'll have that authority. People will listen. When he speaks, people listen because they believe that he's following God's Word. He that overcometh. This is godly perseverance. This is the way Scripture teaches it. And it's right. And it's right to exercise. He that overcometh. But he says, "He that overcometh to him, or the same shall be clothed in white raiment," is the text that we took today. "He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." You know, in the and we've touched on the text from Matthew chapter 10 before. He says, where God says, "He that denieth me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. And he that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." We've touched on that. Here's a text very similar to it. He said, him, the one that overcomes, "I will confess before my Father and before his angels. And he'll be clothed with white raiment, and his name shall not be blotted out of the book of life." Let's use the book of Revelation and look at what the book of life is. Go to Revelation chapter 13 with me. And what we'll look at is when it was written, who wrote it. And if you want to leave your finger there at Revelation 13 and 8, flip over to 17 and 8 too, because those are the two that we'll look at. A book of life. In Revelation chapter 13, you read about, if you get started sometimes explaining some of this stuff, I'll just touch on just the book of life. We can't go into depth. Sometimes you can give a summary about where you are in Scripture, but the book of Revelation and our services don't afford you the time. Sometimes you just have to go straight to where you go. And verse 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." It's not talking about the Lord, it's talking about the beast. and whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Talking about ones who worship the beast. And the scripture says that these are ones whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. 17 and 8. I'm not done with that. We're going to touch on it some more, but just to make sure we get them both right here before we start. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. I don't think I need to go into great depth about what this is. I think we all who gather here this morning know a little bit about what that pit is and what we're talking about. And go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. These two verses of Scripture teach us that there was a book written before the foundation of the world. If you want to learn some things about Bible doctrine, take that verse of Scripture, that phrase right there, before the foundation of the world, or foundation of the world, and use your blue letter Bible or whatever source that you use to look up where verses are found in the Scriptures, and put that phrase in there and let it list out the verses of Scripture that contain before the foundation of the world, foundation of the world. And what you'll find out is there were some things that took place before the foundation of the world. Marvelously, there were some things that took place before the foundation of the world. You'll find out that there was a covenant made before God the Father and God the Son before the foundation of the world. And the text that you'll see that will teach that is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. There were some things that happened before the foundation of the world. And in the midst of this covenant, it meant that there was a book of life written and there were people in it. You say, how do you know there were people in it? This just lists that there were people who were not in it. Well, if their Scripture says that people were not in it, then there had to be people in it, wouldn't there? If there's people that's not in it, there's got to be people who were in it. And Revelation 21 and 27, which is where we're going to go in a minute, talks about the ones who were in the book of life. Who were in the book of life. And it wasn't just the Apostle John who was stranded out on an island receiving these images from God who believed in the book of life. The Apostle Paul, he said, I entreat thee also, yoke fellow in the ministry. He said, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with all of my fellow laborers in the ministry who names are written in the book of life. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, there's some names who are written in the book of life. The Apostle Paul believed in a book of life. A book that was written before the foundation of the world. Before God ever set man upon this earth. Before he ever spread the starry sky. There was some things that took place before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there were some things that took place before the foundation of the world? Again, you want to know what the hidden man is? You want to know about the mysteries of God? You go and you tell somebody about some things that took place before the foundation of the world. And you're going to get that look. And if you don't get it, please tell me your strategy. Because I need it. I need to be able to put it in my pocket and try to use it. Because I get that look all the time. Before the foundation of the world. It's in God's work. The Lord made some choices before the foundation of the world. There were some names written in a book. There were some names written on a hand, if you will, from Isaiah chapter 49. If you go and read through there, the Israelites claimed that the Lord had forgotten them. And he says, a mom may forget her suffering child, but I won't forget you. Your names are written in my hand. And God's people's names are written on the hand. It's written in the book of life. And you say, well, hold on a minute. How can they have it blotted out then if it was written before the foundation of the world? Stick with me. Stick with me. Because just as God's people, and every blood-bought one of whose names is written written in a book of life, there's some things that the Lord has required of you because he's given you the life that he's given you. And it's called a part. Here in this world. It's called a part here in serving Him. It's called temporal blessings. It's called now salvation. You know, some people say don't use the word time salvation. It confuses the flock. Well, we'll use now salvation because it's in the Word of God. It's there in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, the like figure whereunto doth also baptism now save us. It's now salvation. It's not eternal. It's now salvation. And some of these things that God's Word says to overcome, it's not to get your name written in the book of life. It's not that you overcome out of fear that it'll be blotted out and you won't get to go to heaven. It's encouragement because your name is in there. Your name is in there. The Word of the Lord says over in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and we touched on this back in, I believe it was April, when we tried to preach on the subject of hell. And verse 12 mentions that book. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, plural, books. Stick with me right here because you got to read to the end of the verse to find out what books. And you say, well, homie, is that a book of life or is that a books of life? He opened books, plural. He opened books, plural. He says, And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The dead, those who stood before God on that final day that did not belong to God, they were judged according to their works. But those who were written in that book of life will not be judged according to their works. They'll be judged according to the work of one who came and he lived it perfect. Man, that's good news, isn't it? They'll be judged according to the book, according to the works of one. And brother, you can tally them down. You can go back through history and you can find anything you can about that one named Jesus. And you won't find one sin that he ever committed. He lived it perfect. And because he lived it perfect, those who were written in the book of life will be judged according to that perfection which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's joy. To him that overcometh, the saints shall be clothed in white raiment and will not have his name blotted out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There's some blessings in overcoming. There's some blessings in perseverance. And I fear that sometimes in trying to straighten out what some people have confused, we haven't taught the biblical term for perseverance. Sometimes in straightening out what the world is wrong about in belief, some people may leave here with the thought that we're encouraging them not to believe. God forbid that we not encourage you to believe, even though I don't believe that your belief will grant you a home in heaven. I don't believe you have to prove you're going. But I tell you, you should. I tell you, you should. God's Word says, there remaineth a rest here for the people of God. Let us therefore cease from our works, as he that hath entered into his rest has ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should come short of it. That's belief. That means that you ought to believe. You ought to believe what God's Word tells you and teaches you about what he did for you. It's not an exhortation. Just because you rest it from your own works, it's not an exhortation not to believe in what God taught you. It means rest from your own works and thinking that your belief is the reason why you're going there. That's what that is. And God's Word teaches perseverance. He says, he that overcometh. And he says down in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 20, he says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There was a book written. There was names that weren't in it. Are you under the impression this morning that that's somehow wrong, that that's somehow unrighteous, that every man at least deserves a shot at getting his name in the book? I hope not. Because, brother, I'm here to tell you, it's by God's mercy, and it's by God's grace, and it's by God's love that your name is in a book of life. And it's not based on anything that you've done. Not based upon our own works of righteousness, but based upon his own love for his people. That's what it's about. That's what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's a home in heaven for undeserving folks. It's a loving God to people who don't deserve to be loved. But he says, to him that overcometh. You know, in chapter 21 and verse 27, you can read about the ones who go to that celestial shore, that home in heaven. He says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those are the ones who are going. And you say, well, brother, if we don't overcome, then our name's going to be blotted out of that book. Our name's going to be blotted out of that book. If we don't get it done, I'm here to tell you, there's some things that I stand before you this morning that this one ain't overcome yet. This one's got some work to do, stand before you this morning. This one's got some things that I can tell you that come up and creep and haunt me. That somehow Satan, sometimes even on the way to the church house, says, why don't you tell them this morning some of the things you've done? Does the devil ever do that to you? Does he ever just tell you, just tell him? And I'm here to tell you, there's some things I got that I guarantee you if I were to try to drag out with me, you wouldn't want to sit here anymore. You wouldn't want my name on that sign out there. That's some things that we've got to overcome. That's some work got to be left to do. And the Apostle Paul, as we tried to preach a few weeks ago, he said, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I have not apprehended the perfection to which I strive for. That word that is used in the text, you know, I told Mom and Daddy, I told them, I said, you might as well get ready for it. I said, when you join the church, I said, Satan's coming. He came when the Lord was baptized. They said, he's coming. He's coming on you. And I said, one of the first things they're going to tell you is y'all just join a church because your son's a... I don't know if my foot grew or whatever, but I am about to tear the paint off of this if my boots are a different size or what, but I have worked on this cabinet up here this morning. But nonetheless, I told him, I said, you get ready. I said, because they're going to tell you that you're joining the church because your son is a pastor for those people, and that'll be the only reason why you join. I said, you get ready for it. I said, the argument will be made, and they better have the guns loaded if they come at me with it. But I got some people that I don't know if I've scared them or what, but they hush whenever I come around. But they'll go after them. They'll go after them. And I said, you quote to them this verse of Scripture. The Apostle Paul told them, be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. And that word follow means to mimic. To mimic. Your goal, and the one that you have set on a pedestal, I pray, is Jesus Christ. You'll never apprehend that perfection. You'll never be able to persevere to the level that He did. But set your sights on Him, brothers and sisters. Persevere and set that as your goal. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine this week, and he said he can remember whenever he was a kid. He said that one Christmas he got a Tony Dorsett football outfit. And he said he decked it, donned it, and he said he went out in the yard. And he said I wore that Tony Dorsett outfit, and he said, I wanted to be just like Tony Dorsett. And he said, I never obtained it. And he said, you know, I knew in the back of my mind whenever I set my goals on it that I would never be as good as Tony Dorsett, but I still set my goals on him. I still set my mark on him. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Set your mark on the Lord. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And this does not mean on that final judgment day. This means as you walk in this world, people will look at you and say, there's a child of the King on high. He loves his Lord. He's overcoming the obstacles of this world. And brother, there's a ton of them. Sister, too. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of obstacles that Satan's going to lay out there for you. Excuses not to come to the house of God. Excuses not to do for those who are in need. Excuses for not spending time in the Word of God. But the Apostle Paul says, overcome those. Apostle John says, he that overcometh. There's blessings for overcoming it. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 20, chapter 22 is where this is going to unlock the truth here about what he's talking about. Chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, about the book of life. He mentions about people tinkering with this book that we've got open here before us. Excuse me. He mentions about people tinkering with this book. I tell you, I can't even carry on a good biblical, I don't want to use the word argument, because I want to make you think that it's something that you should argue about. But I can't defend God's Word whenever I'm talking with somebody that does not use the inspired Word, the King James translation. And I would encourage you this morning, if somebody goes to battle with that weapon, you got to first start where they need to show you the mistakes in this one. And those things, those different translations, and I know I've touched on them here before, but let me warn you, brethren, they weren't anything new. The New King James Version was not anything new. They dug up things from years and years ago that the people of God would not have had years and years ago. And they dug them up, and all they did was recreate them. All they did was recreate stuff from a group of people that did not believe in a triune Godhead, and that's the reason why 1 John 5 and 7 is not in those translations. Doesn't that make you a little bit wary of somebody that does not would take something like that out of the Word of God? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, wouldn't you be a little bit wary of somebody that wouldn't want to discuss the Scriptures along those lines, and that is that we're discussing about a triune Godhead, about a God who is one God, but at the same time three in one Godhead? It wouldn't be. And so the first thing you need to do is find out where the incorrections are in this one. And if you think you've found any, let's talk about them, because I guarantee you it'll be in our interpretation of them. It won't be in this work. And so he says in verse 17 of Revelation chapter, verse 18, he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that were written in this book. And you can go back and you can read about some pretty hefty fines, if you will, coming upon the people of God in this book that did not obey God. And so verse 19 says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, and it's not, I don't believe it's just talking about the prophecy of Revelation. I think it's talking about this book of prophecy, all 66 books of it. He says, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There's a part that God has given you. It's a part here in this world. It ain't your name, but it's a part. Scripture sometimes refers to it as a name. If we go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 9 and Deuteronomy chapter 29, We're going to use God's word to show about the Lord blotting some out. Blotting some out. We'll hold our place there. He says in, you know, and I would encourage the study of Deuteronomy chapter 9, especially in the midst of the conflict that our country is in, because a lot of people believe that God's blessings are granted upon this country just because we're Americans, and it's a prideful thing. It's the same thing that Israel had. They believe God was going to bless us because we're Abraham's seed. And a lot of people believe today, we're Americans, we don't have anything to worry about, look what we've done. But if you read verses 4 and 5 right there, it'll make you think twice about making that declaration, because he says, "Speak not in thine heart after that the Lord hath cast them out from before thee, saying, For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." It wasn't because of the righteousness of Israel that Israel was granted blessings, it was because of the iniquity of the Canaanites that the Lord drove them out. Make you think a little bit, won't it? Make you wonder, make you think a little bit before you go declaring just because we're of almighty, powerful America that the Lord will just continue to bestow His blessings upon us. It was not for the righteousness of Americans, but it was because of the iniquity of the others. And a lot of people I've had conversations with, and you tell them about some of the what I believe to be some of the deepest iniquities of our country right now, and they say, "Yeah, but look over there at what Africa and all these other places do." And I say, the Lord's word teaches us that punishment is according to knowledge. He that knew his father's will and did it not shall receive how many stripes? Many. He that knew not his father's will and did it not shall receive few stripes. There's a difference in the chastening hand of God depending on the knowledge that he's blessed us with. And God's people in this country have been blessed with knowledge just flowing left and right. Speaking of knowledge, and that's the reason why the chastening hand of the Lord is pretty hard upon these churches, because they didn't continue in it. Notice that in Revelation 2 and 3, don't flip back because I'm not going to read the verse of Scripture. Notice he references them as a candlestick. What's on the end of a candle? It's a light. And when you don't continue in God's way, and the Lord has the right to do it, not me, not you, not any man, the Lord dwindles their light and their knowledge of Him. It dwindles in knowledge. You can go back and you can research over a period of time where God's people didn't dwell in the quote-unquote ignorance that they do today. Why? It's because God has dwindled their light. Because they've refused to walk in His ways, He's starting to dwindle their light. And I could go through several specific instances of where we could show that. It's the light. And He says, He'll remove it from you if you continue in those ways. But nonetheless, He says in verse 14, this is Moses quoting what took place at the base of Mount Sinai when he comes down from the base and finds these folks have made him a calf of gold and dancing around it naked. And he comes down there at the base of the mount and he says, "Let me alone, this is the Lord talking, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they." He says, "I'll blot out their name from under heaven." From under heaven. Does that mean that because these folks were dancing around being foolish down here at the base of this mountain, that if their names were in the book of life, that God's going to take them out of the book of life for worshiping that idol? No. No. And I tell you, a smart man in God's Word told me the other day that people are still worshiping that calf. It's through the religion of Hinduism today. They still got the Brahma calf. Isn't that something? Same calf. It's carried right on down through time. Here they got a molten calf of gold. And if you go and you study much about the Hindu religion, what is their animal of choice, I guess is probably the best way to put it. It's a Brahma calf. It's the same religion that's carried on down through time. And here he says, the Lord said, "Back out of the way. I'm fixing to destroy it." Why? Because God was not in need of these Israelites. God doesn't stand in need of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. God does not stand in need of anybody in order to have a people that will serve Him in spirit and truth. He said, "I'll make me another nation. I'll make another one." And I tell you, Moses did as a servant of God should. He prayed for the mercy of God upon God's people. And that's what a servant does. He prays that God would have mercy upon us for our iniquities. It's the same thing that Hezekiah did when they didn't carry out the Passover feast correctly. He prayed for mercy from on high because they didn't carry it out right. Deuteronomy chapter 29. It'll tell us the same thing right here. Their name shall be blotted out from under heaven. stick your fingers up here this morning. Speaking of those, I'll start in verse 19. Verse 19, it says, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart. Speaking about the, let's get verse 18 too. Lest there should be any among you, man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord shall not spare him, but in the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. His name from under heaven. That means his part that the Lord has blessed him to have in his service, and it is a blessing. It is not a burden. Even though it can become what we think is burdensome at times, and to get kids decked out to bring to the house of God, to do sometimes what is necessary in our service, it's just our old simple nature pulling at us. There's nothing burdensome about it. It's a blessing to be able to serve God, and there's blessings in it. You know, when you read about some more to him that overcometh than some of these other ones, you read that you get a stone from the Lord on high with your name on it. Isn't that something? I tell you, you want to talk about one that you'll put on your put above your bed on your trophy chest. That would be one of them. But there's blessings to those who persevere. Those who have blotted out some of those things from their past and are not letting them drag them down. You know, if you've been blessed to put away some things in your past and some habits, whatever it may be, you better fill that void in your time, in your life, with something good. With something good. Because if you don't fill it with something, Satan's going to fill it either with that one right over again and come back more powerful. Or either he'll fill it with something else. He'll fill it with something else. He doesn't lack in his tools. And that's the reason why the Apostle Peter, he wrote, and he said, add unto your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance godliness, and godliness brotherly love. For he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Have you ever spoken to anybody like that, that you knew was blessed with the knowledge of God at one point in time, but because he didn't add these things unto him, because he didn't overcome? The Lord has not only taken some of the blessings in this life, but he's gotten to the point where he's forgotten that he was purged. That's a blood-bought purge. A child of God that has forgotten these things. He's not persevering. And because he's not perseverance, there's temporal judgments for it. It's not eternal. If you go through God's Word and you read about about what the Lord says about many of his saints of God, it's that they didn't persevere. You read about a man named Moses who prayed for wisdom and knowledge, and the Lord blessed him with it. Scripture even, should have got an eyebrow raised on that one from some of them. Now, I like to slip that one in. Solomon. Solomon prayed for that. Scripture even refers to the fields of this world as being adorned better than what Solomon's blessings from God were. And yet you find that he had a love for strange women. He had a love for strange women. He didn't die with near the blessings of God here in this life as he had whenever he was serving and whenever he was persevering. David. You can go through example after example. The Lord even uses in his Paul's letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, speaking about a widow. He says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. He's talking about a widow who doesn't continue, as it describes in verse 5, continue in prayer, continue in service to God. But those who live in pleasure, those who feel like they were in bondage while they were married, if you will, which is the feminine movement today. Don't need a man, and all a man does is bind you down and keep you from doing whatever and what else. Those who's a widow who liveth in pleasure, whenever their husband passes away and is hopping from house to house and doing things like she knows better than doing, is dead while she liveth. Is she persevering? No. Could she be a blood-bought child of God? Absolutely. Up to him, not me. God's Word teaches perseverance. It teaches to overcome the obstacles that Satan throws in your pathway. And it describes the blessings and the curses. There's some curses in some of those overcomes. And if the Lord will be with us, maybe we'll go back to them another day in time. But there are blessings. There are curses for not overcoming. But it's all here. That Lamb's Book of Life was written before the foundation of the world. There are people in it. And if your name's in it, it'll be in it on that last day. And you'll live with heaven. You'll live with God forever in heaven. It won't be based upon what you've done. It'll be based upon His love for you. It won't be based upon what you've done. It'll be based on, or it'll be in spite of what you've done. That's what the gospel is. But God forbid that we would ever, in spite of trying to teach what persevering isn't, teach what it is. And that is, that's where you receive blessings from God, from the light that He's given you, adding more unto it. Praying with all, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints, praying for one another. You got some spare time because you've gotten rid of something in your life that you shouldn't have, that God has blessed you to overcome. Fill it with prayer for me, for all the other saints of God here with you, to the other ones that you love, no matter wherever they may be. Persevere in that. Persevere in your good works. You've got a friend in Jesus that'll bless you in it. It'll bless you as you try to do that. And there's blessings to be had from doing it. There's not only, as we talk about pulling for the ones that we read about in the as we read about or find out in the sports world or wherever they may be in the real world, you got a whole house full of folks that are pulling for you. And whatever your challenge may be in this world, you got people who love you, that want to see you overcome, that want to see us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord together. And I pray that the Lord would bless you to do the same as the Apostle John wrote to those churches, to him that overcometh. May we as a group, may we as individuals overcome the wiles of Satan as he throws these things at us. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.